This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Joel Whitaker, editor of Cane's Beverage News Daily, and today we're talking with Larry Comier, who's with Ship Compliant, and he's got all sorts of news to share with us. And Larry, welcome, and we're glad to have you. You're out there in, I understand, cool and comfortable Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes, I am. Looking for 102 today. Staying in the air conditioning as much as possible.
Probably a very wise thing to do with that sort of heat. So let's start off, Larry, by talking about numbers. What sort of growth trends have you seen, and what are you projecting in terms of direct-to-consumer growth and trends in the next year or so?
Yeah, so in February of this year, we published our 2018 direct-to-consumer report, which measures the growth of 2017 over 2016. And in that report, we were pointed out that it was another great year of growth for DTC. It was over 15% in both volume and value growth.
Larry, is that 55-0 or 15-1-5?
15-1-5.
Okay, great.
So that continued a streak of mid-teen double-digit growth. We go back 7 years, the DTC market has grown over 120%. So it's pretty amazing for a distribution channel that didn't even exist to now be over $2.5 billion, and in 2017 actually represented 10% of the overall wine sales. So that's a pretty significant growth. In 2018, we have just pulled a year-to-date set of numbers to get a check on it, because we'll be presenting those at our DTC Wine Summit next week in Napa. And the good news is it continues to show very strong growth. April year over year was actually greater than 20% growth on both volume and value. So if we look at the average for the first 4 months of the year, it's right at that 15% mark. Some interesting numbers within that, we track what are the regions and the varietals and the price points that we're seeing. On the regions, it's Sonoma and Oregon kind of leading the pack, which was the case in 2017 as well. Sonoma over 30% growth on both volume and value, and Oregon at about the mid-20s. So we expect that will be a trend that will continue. It's sort of the non-Napa areas. Now, don't get me wrong, Napa is still the lion's share of shipments, but the growth is coming from the regions outside of Napa.
Mm-hmm.
On the varietals, is Cabs leading the way. For direct-to-consumer, Cabernet Sauvignon has been perennially the leader in that space. Over 43% volume growth and over 50% value growth. The other one that was kind of been coming on, and people have been predicting it, but we're seeing it for sure now, is Rosé. Rosé had a 39.9% volume growth and value growth of 47%. So coming on strong, and it's not even the summer months yet, right, where we all like to have a nice, cool Rosé.
That is pretty incredible.
And the on the price band, the biggest growth is in that $100 to $150 bottle of wine. So that's if you see the Cabs are leading the way, and Cabs are by nature the more expensive wine. So not too surprising that $100 to $150 is the most popular, with 35% growth and 33%. Value growth. And then finally, we look at where all this wine is going. So we look at the states. Pennsylvania is still very hot. We reported in the 2018 report from last year, 2017, was the first full year that Pennsylvania was allowing direct-to-consumer shipments. And they had a phenomenal growth of like 159%. They're still growing close to 50%. So 48% volume and 48.8% value. Arizona is another hot spot, no pun intended, because they opened up a lot of additional producers into the state in the last year. So they're growing at close to 20%. And then we have, you know, the rest of the top 10, all greater than 20% growth. So, you know, pointing to a good year. We had predicted in the last report that we would see 2018 top the $3 billion mark, and these numbers tell us that we're on our way for that.
Well, that's very exciting. What do you think explains? I'm fascinated by the fact that the biggest growth for direct to consumers is in the $100 to $150 bottle of wine price point. And I'm thinking back a number of years to when direct-to-consumer first began, and there was hysteria among the wholesalers for fear that they would lose all their volume. And obviously, I guess if wine is selling direct-to-consumer at $100 a bottle, that leaves a lot of wine for distributors to still handle. What do you think explains all that, or do you have an idea of what explains all that?
Well, I think most of the direct-to-consumer business that we see is going into, fairly large population markets, places with lots of high-income individuals. It's pretty much still driven by the boomers when you look at an age breakdown, so people that have money. You know, if we break down the price per bottle between boomers and millennials, it's, you know, pretty significant difference. I think it's the demographics. It's it's the culture. It's, on the retail side, I think we have a chart in the report comparing the average price per bottle for retail versus direct, and I think retail's around $19, and direct average is about $39. The number one varietal at retail is Sauvignon Blanc, and Sauvignon Blanc doesn't even really show up on the direct to consumer side. So it really is, another key point too is that most of the DTC volume still comes from what are characterized as small to medium sized wineries. So this is their, kind of primary method of distribution, and they are almost by definition higher end, premium and super premium kind of wines. So it's who's it and it's who's buying it is kind of what's driving those bottle prices.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense, and doesn't surprise me a bit. And it also doesn't surprise me that much of the volume is going to come from small to medium-sized wineries. And certainly for the small wineries, they're not going to have a lot of interest from wholesalers because they just don't normally have the volume that makes it worthwhile for a wholesaler to deal with them. Or at least that's my understanding of how the business really works.
Yeah, and that's the big challenge for a lot of our customers going forward, because really to grow a healthy business, they need to have a balance of direct and three-tier. So that's going to be a big part of the change we expect to see. Now, I think there'll be more growth for our customers on the direct side as they get more sophisticated about e-commerce. Up to now, it's really been, sort of wait for people to show up at the tasting room and get up to join your club. And what we're seeing is an evolution toward a much more sophisticated approach to digital marketing, online presence. So they'll continue to grow that direct side, but more and more we're seeing them move into the three-tier system. And you're right that it's difficult for small wineries, especially, to get the attention of larger distributors. We're starting to see a sort of boutique distributors that are popping up and working directly with those smaller wineries. And some of the wineries we see are doing, you know, being very smart about how they go to three-tier. They'll target some of these high population, high education, high income areas specifically, and not try to do a mass, you know, 50 state distribution, but target specific areas. So we see that as a major trend. And in fact, the launch of the Market Ready product that we're going to talk about today is aimed at helping those traditionally DTC centric customers migrate into the three-tier world.
So you did a marvelous job of transitioning direct to the Market Ready product. So talk to us about that a little bit. Tell us everything you want to tell us about it, who, what, where, why, and when, who it will benefit, why it will benefit, who might be a loser, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so it really is keeping with our commitment to the customers to provide a automated approach to compliance. We started on the direct side because it was a complex area, right? You have lots of, every state's got a little bit different interpretation of what they're going to allow. You know, some states have volume limitations. I mean, there's just a lot of complexities involved with being compliant from the federal level all the way down to the state and local level. So we entered that market first and provided the capability for people to ensure that they were being compliant with the state regulations, whatever those were from state to state, and automatically file their required paperwork on a monthly, quarterly, annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So as our industry grew up and as the DTC, more and more of the DTC people started expressing interest in three-tier, that's when we started building out a wholesale product. And the first iteration of that was really around excise tax reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been providing that capability for a while. And we provide that to wineries, breweries, and distillers because they all have the same kind of reporting, gallonage reporting responsibilities. And so now that's led us to Market Ready. And Market Ready is specifically about helping the three-tier producers get their markets, their products to market faster by automating the registration of those labels and brands in each of the states that require it. So some states don't require, I think there's like 17 states that don't require label registration, but then there's the rest of them do. And again, it varies from state to state and what those requirements are. So this is a way to automate it. And why that's important to the consumers is that the compliance is often the tail that wags the dog because marketing and sales is out creating, you know, new labels, new brands. They want to take it to market. They're trying to hit specific windows, whether that's, you know, pumpkin-flavored beer for Thanksgiving or Halloween or whatever. They've got their, you know, marketing engine set up, and if compliance doesn't get those labels registered, that can impact the revenue stream for those brands and labels because they can't actually stop selling them until they have approval from the state for their labels and brands. So that's what Market Ready does, is automate that entire complex process of getting your brands. Once you have your TTB cola license, then you have to, you know, get each of those states registered that you're going to sell into. So that's what that new product is all about.
Boy, that sounds like a really useful product, and it also sounds to me like something that may level the playing field slightly between a smaller winery, or I believe you said brewery or distillery, and you know, the really giant players in the industry like Diageo and Constellation and so on, because if it's automated, then I could do it, I guess.
Exactly, and that's what I love. You know, I hear when I go to conferences and meet with customers, it's like, you know, you changed our life, because now they can focus on the things they need to do to grow their business and not be doing the compliance work all the time. So it does level the playing field. Now, we do have large customers that use us, you know, for registration. But, yeah, they have, you know, armies of people to do it, whereas especially the small to mid-sized craft brewers and emerging craft distillers and the traditional wineries are able to take advantage of this now. And that's been a major roadblock to a lot of them getting into three-tier, is how do they manage that compliance across multiple states.
I can't think of anything that would be a bigger nightmare for a winery or a brewery or a distiller than having to manage that all across all the various states with all their different permutations of how they want things done and when they want things done and all of that. I think it would give anybody just a massive migraine to comply with, and therefore I think that this should be a terrific product.
Yeah, and the product itself is kind of the tip of the spear, because what's behind the product is, you know, we have about 50 lawyers and accountants that are constantly talking to the states, reviewing the compliance regulations, making sure that we know if any changes are coming in forms, in reporting requirements, so that we're, you know, we're just in the background constantly updating that stuff. So you can imagine, yes, it'd be a nightmare for a small entrepreneur to have to try to research every state regulation. We also stay very close to the industry associations, like the Craft Brewers Association, the National Wholesalers Associations, Wine Institute, who all have lobbying efforts going on and have a legislative agenda of trying to move forward, you know, in support of the industry. And so we're able to get kind of early warning system there to know what major shifts may be coming in legislation. So it's, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, all they see is the product and the automation, but there's a lot of intensive research that goes behind it too.
Well, and it's that intensive research that would give me a massive migraine with just trying to find out what's coming next. You know, even if I wanted to devote my life to complying with that with the state requirements, it would be a terrific burden, I think. So tell me a little bit about this product is rolling out when?
Well, we actually have several with early customers that have been using it now for about 3 or 4 months. It goes generally on May 31st. So at our conference, we'll be announcing it. I think I'm not sure. Michelle, do you know when the press release is going out?
The press release will go out on that morning of the conference, but we don't have the final draft just yet. But I am happy to share it beforehand, Joel, if that'll help, you know, with the story. So I can get that to you before. Okay. But the 31st, the first day of the conference, first thing that morning.
Be happy to have that as soon as we can.
Okay.
And can you tell us, Larry, about some of these early customers, the people who have been your beta customers for Market Ready?
I don't know that we have the ability yet to review. I don't know if we've got, I know that the PR firm is reaching out to them to see if we can get quotes from them, but
okay.
You know, they are, they do kind of run the gamut in size. I mean, we have small wineries that are going into three tier for the first time. We have mm-hmm. established large breweries that have been doing multi-state registrations for a long time. Where we see the opportunity for us mainly is in two places. One is our existing direct-to-consumer customers who want to get into three-tier. So, you know, we think there's about 400 of them today that are big enough that they are probably going to be moving into three-tier soon. So this will be an easy add-on for them since they're already familiar with our direct product. Where we're the other area that we see a lot of opportunity is in the regional craft breweries. So they're starting to get pretty serious about distributing in multiple states. And this is another area where we see that emerging model of boutique distributors that are helping the craft brewers. You know, the estimate is that whether you're a winery or brewery, when you get into five or more states, that's when you need this product. You can manage it if it's less than five, but once you kind of hit that fifth level, the complexities are that you need to go. So that's where we're seeing the most interest is from the DTC people ready to move in to three tier and the craft breweries that are ready to go on a regional distribution basis.
Sure. Somebody in, say, Indiana who wants to serve not only Indiana, but the five states around it, which would be what? Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a nice market for you.
Yeah.
Can you talk, are you willing to talk about pricing a little bit about this? How expensive is Market Ready? How is it priced?
It's based on the number of registrations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an annual subscription. It starts at $750 a month. But like I say, it scales up based on we have tiers of registration. So
sure,
you can start pretty small. I know that one of our customers is already at six figures annually mm-hmm. because of a large brewery doing business in 40 states. So,
right.
That's a lot of registrations.
Yes, it is. But $750 a year for, is that a year or is that a monthly figure?
Year.
So $750 a year for a small winery or a small brewery. Who just wants to go into the neighboring states, that's doable.
Yep.
I mean, it sounds to me like you've priced that very well. I wish you were in the subscription accounting business because none of the products that serve us are priced anything approaching reasonable, trust me, because I write the check and, they're not reasonable. So this sounds like a very good product. And you say it rolls out on May 31st. So people will be able to use it starting, what, June 1 or July 1?
June 1. It's ready to go.
Good. And have you been talking to your potential customers? Do you have any pre-orders or anything like that, or do you want to that you want to share with us?
We've got a very healthy pipeline. As I mentioned, we're rolling out first, targeting at our installed base of direct-to-consumer
mm-hmm.
shippers. So that'll be our focus for probably the first quarter, and then we'll add in the craft brewer approach probably in the September timeframe.
Well, that's really good. Is there anything else we need to talk about here with regard to either the trends in direct shipping or the Market Ready product itself, or anything else you want to share?
No, at a high level, I think compliance challenges that everybody's facing are only going to get more complicated as we go. I mean, the states, I'm here with a bunch of state regulators in Arizona this week. I'm going to be with another group of state regulators in June. There's a lot of talk about direct-to-consumer, and especially as direct-to-consumer expands to include e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of rules and regulations around alcohol that don't exist for other types of products. So the beverage industry is having to walk that line between how do they become like Amazon, you know, and be ubiquitous and make it easy for people to experience their product. But, you know, you have little rules like, you know, no free inducements, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with free shipping and that kind of stuff? So lots of focus on that. We're seeing an increased focus on making sure that the age verifications are completed for every shipment.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of purchase, there are several states, Michigan, Arizona, South Dakota, that have all just issued notices about that recently, and they're looking at that a lot closer. You know, in general, they're on VTC, the whole regulatory drive is making sure that the people that are in it are doing it properly, and making sure that those who aren't permitted leave the market,
mm-hmm.
Because frankly, there's just still a lot of ignorance about, the rules around beverage alcohol shipping. Some of it is willful, I believe. But you have people who just assume, for instance, that, you know, a New Jersey retailer can sell online and ship into Brooklyn. And
right.
That's just okay, right? So, getting those guys kind of out of it is kind of like playing whack-a-mole for the regulators. We see that focus on the direct side.
Right.
On the three-tier side, the challenges are more around what we talked about earlier and how did they make those markets more open to smaller wineries, distilleries, breweries,
mm-hmm.
Because there's all kinds of, you know, franchise protection laws that kind of favor the established distributors. And so being able to get those changes, there's a lot of work going on at the state legislative level there.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of at the federal level, it's a lot of focus on the recent excise tax enhancements that were part of the Tax Reform Act, which was great news for the overall industry. But everybody's a little concerned that it's only for 2 years. So a lot of talk about what happens after 2019. Will Congress renew those? So a lot of work on the part of the industry aims to make sure that that gets extended and hopefully made permanent.
Right. It would make life for everybody so much easier if it was, made permanent, because otherwise you're in this constant state of uncertainty, and that in itself is retards business opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. Because the whole benefit of that is that it could be an opportunity for people to grow a lot faster and to invest in more distribution, for instance, but hard to make that business decision if you don't know that savings is still going to be there.
Exactly. So, Larry, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, in touch with you, how would they do that? You want to share with us phone number or email or something like that?
Sure. You can reach me at larry.cormier, that's C-O-R-M-I-E-R, at sovos.com.
Sovos.com. Excellent. And we wish you all the possible success in the launch of the market product. And we also are delighted to know that you're continuing to see growth in the direct-to-consumer market. And I'm sure that you all have played a major role in that growth just by the service and the products that you provide those suppliers.
Thanks, Joel. We really do love this industry, and our conference next week is our annual Labor of Love, where we give back to the community. So I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you about it.
Well, thank you so much, and have a very great day, and good luck to you, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Joel.
This call has been recorded.